So joining me right now is Dr. Margaret Harris, who is a spokesperson for the World Health Organization, talking about the health conditions in Gaza. Good morning, Dr. Harris. What are the health consequences of prolonged aid blockades?
Good morning, Kathy. Well, the consequences, particularly overall, the blockade of food just means people starve to death. And we're already seeing this, particularly children dying from lack of food. But the other consequences in our area of work, because we bring in all the health supplies for the hospitals, and they're going through more health supplies than normal, as you can understand, because there's constant bombardment. So many, many people are arriving at the different hospitals injured. And it's just simple things like swabs, band-aids, disinfectant. They haven't got any of those at the moment because the aid has been totally blocked since the beginning of March, since March 2. Now, we did put a lot of aid in warehouses, and one of the reasons we do that is, as you mentioned, we want to make sure no aid is diverted to anything but what it's intended for. So we have a system where we bring it in, we bring it to warehouses, and we bring it to the hospitals and ensure that they are getting exactly what they need, not, you know, excess things that could end up in the market or anything else. And this has been working very, very well. But the problem is, we did fill up their warehouses during the brief ceasefire to such an extent that we were able to supply the hospitals for the first month of the blockade. But now they've run out. And yesterday we had the terrible news that one of our warehouses was bombed. I mean, there's no excuse for bombing a warehouse, a health warehouse. That is that's considered a health facility under international humanitarian law, and it's off limits. It's neutral territory. So, unfortunately, 30% of our supplies in that warehouse were destroyed by a bombardment.
Dr. Harris, in the past, I mean, earlier in the war, there was a situation where the United States did airdrops of these big crates. Is that not another way to get aid into Gaza?
Unfortunately, that didn't work. It didn't reach many people. And the other thing is, again, just as you've mentioned, who's going to pick up the aid? It may go into the wrong hands. You've got to be on the ground then to make sure that you distribute it appropriately. Whereas if you've got sort of random airdrops, anyone can pick it up. And it's usually the fittest and strongest, not the people you're actually trying to reach, especially when it's food. With food aid and those sort of supplies, the people you want to reach are the children and the mothers. They're going to be the last people who can actually get that through an airdrop. The other thing is, of course, those airdrops killed people. They landed on people. Some landed in the sea. People drowned trying to get what was in the sea. So it's not a reliable form. Also, again, you would have to have the permission of the occupying power, that's Israel, to do those airdrops. So it's not a matter of, oh gosh, we need to get more in. It's we're not allowed to get it in. There's a blockade by air, by land, by sea. We are not allowed to bring the aid. And we are the neutral parties. The conflict, we don't take sides. We are just there to help the people.
Why is it Israel's responsibility to allow aid in rather than Hamas's responsibility? Why isn't it Hamas's responsibility?
Well, they're the occupying power. Israel are the occupying power, and they are those with the power to prevent entry. So regardless of, who's on what side in any conflict, it doesn't matter where it is, the civilians are not part of the conflict. They have to be looked after. And if even if you're committing aggression against the other side, you still, under all the agreements that we've all signed up to, you still ensure that the civilians, the non-combatants, can have food, water, and medical care.
So I've got a 5-year-old in my brain who needs to understand things very simply so that I can see the moving parts and understand it. Let's have a look at a different situation, like the war in Ukraine, right? I've seen reports about they are starving people in Ukraine. Is that Russia's responsibility to allow aid in to Ukraine?
So, again, I think you're thinking of, say, the siege of Mariupol. That was one of the big cities that was blockaded absolutely by the aggressor, which was Russia. And indeed, Russia, it was Russia's responsibility to ensure that the civilians were protected. Ultimately, the civilians left, and ultimately that particular attack was combatants. But yes, wherever, and these are the things that were signed up nearly 100 years ago in the Geneva Conventions. This is the good side of humanity, that, you know, we understand that war does break out, but that civilians shouldn't have to face the consequences.
Can a party who isn't, can an organization, a country that is not party to the Geneva Conventions, be held accountable to the Geneva Conventions?
That's a good question. I'd have to put that to the lawyers. And again, as a health specialist, I focus on health, so I don't focus. But indeed, a lot of those questions are now being considered. And because there are various warrants out and referrals to the International Criminal Court for various actions that have been taking place during this conflict.
Yeah. Does the World Health Organization have any sway with Hamas?
We work with all sides. So we have to work with all sides, because our job is to get things, the supplies, but also to support the health system, to understand the needs in the health system. So we have to move around, or we do move around the Gaza Strip every day in the middle of this conflict. And we have lost people. And we do what's called deconfliction. So you contact both sides, both Hamas and both Israel, and say, we wish to move to, say, the European Gaza Hospital or Nasser Hospital today. We're going to do this and that, do that. And if they give us a green light, we move. Now, and both sides have to agree not to shoot us. That's cool. That's deconfliction. But, you know, by the way, 60 to 70% of those movements have been denied by Israel. They do not actually even allow us to move around.